I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello there, Raptors postgame live here, joined by Sirit Sohi, Vivek Jacob, William Liu. I promise this content will be much better than Magic Johnson's, what he just offered during his exit from the Lakers. I promise. I mean, I can't guarantee it, but I do think that we're going to have some good chats about the Toronto Raptors. They did just wrap up their regular season. They defeated the Timberwolves by a considerable amount. They now have home court against all teams in the Western Conference, which is so great. Vivek.
Yes.
Question. Do you think the Raptors met expectations for this season?
I mean, in terms of expectations for this season, I don't think there was anything based on the regular season, right? I mean,
we're just talking regular season.
Right?
Like, so, did they end up where you thought they would?
Sure. I mean, again, like, it was never about where the Raptors would end up. You always expected them to get home court, whether it was the one seed, whether it was the two seed. I don't think that was, you know, much of a debate on whether or not
Vegas said different. Vegas said, oh, they might, you know, 40-win team, 45.
Yeah, but, I mean, we know what happens with the American media, and so I'll take a hard pass on that. but yeah, I think when you look at all the players and what they've accomplished over the season, then I would say for sure they exceeded expectations. You look at what Pascal Siakam's done. My expectations of Kawhi going into the season, honestly, I didn't know what we were going to see because we didn't know where he was at physically. So to see him at this level and not even at top gear yet, I think that's really encouraging. So overall, I would say they exceeded expectations. Another guy that probably should be mentioned along with those guys is Serge Ibaka. Like, everyone wrote him off at the end of last season, and he's, you know, had a really amazing Renaissance season.
How about you? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's to be determined, right? Like, most of the expectations about the playoffs, but, I mean, for the regular season, if you told me that they were going to have home court except for just against one team who they may or may not face, and that all the starters are healthy, all the starters are playing really well, basically all the rotation players are healthy. I mean, you know, Pat McCaw, and he's probably out for another week plus, but, you know, he's, like, maybe the 11th man. So, like, everybody's healthy going to the playoffs. All the starters are in a good rhythm, too, right? Really, like, the only guy I'm a little bit concerned about was Kyle with the scoring. He didn't play today. He got rest. But, you know, everyone's humming. The team has a good flow. You know, it's pretty clear hierarchy. Like, Gasol's going to start. Ibaka's come off the bench. You know, and they have, like, a couple good lineup combinations they want to play with. They've experimented with a lot of stuff. They can go small. They can go big. They're prepared. They're prepared for the playoffs. And again, everyone's healthy. This is a big thing. Remember in Game 82 last year, Fred VanVleet gets hurt because Dwayne Casey wants to chase 60 wins. And all of a sudden, you know, you lose VanVleet, who was such a pivotal part of the bench, and it affected the Raptors a lot.
And Bam almost got Kyle this time.
Yeah,
Kyle wasn't having that at all. He made sure that he got the upper hand.
Kyle got Bam.
It seems like the Raptors are going to face either Brooklyn or Orlando in the first round. Do you have, like, is there a better matchup for the Raptors? Or a worse one, I guess, do you think?
Yeah, I would probably rather face Orlando if I was a Raptors, just because I think the Nets are extremely well coached, and they have probably one of the best best staffs in terms of preparing guys, and they like to go off the dribble a lot. I don't know if Marc Gasol really wants to guard multiple point guards off the dribble. You might have to change some stuff up, might have to start Serge instead of Gasol. You'd rather have a smoother first round. Kind of just take care of a team like the Magic, who, let's face it, like, they're just going to be so happy to be there. I don't really think that we're going to see too much out of them.
Second most improved player on the Brooklyn Nets. The second most improved player. That's right.
Right.
Just give Pascal his due.
Spencer Dinwiddie.
Just give him his due. Let's get Pascal's most improved, and let's be on our way.
I think the season was actually a disappointment because they didn't break any regular season franchise records. So, I mean, I don't know.
Because that's all that matters.
Is this even the Raptors? You know, like, what's going on?
Dwayne Casey's
the Dwayne Casey title, if you will.
Hey, Dwayne Casey's still alive.
Or the DeMar DeRozan title.
Wow. See, I wonder if it might be better for the Raptors to face the Brooklyn Nets, because they could use some competition to start off. Like, they're going to beat both the teams, right? Obviously, they're going to beat both teams. Uh-huh. But I wonder if maybe, come on.
It's the Raptors. We should all, you know.
Yeah, honestly.
They're
going to lose game one.
Avoiding both of them.
And then, all bets are off.
I'm not stressing this.
Yeah,
See? My man. That's how it should be.
But yeah, I'm not worried about the Nets either. Like I said, I was working on that scouting report on the Nets and just going through them. I mean, you know, the one thing you look at playoffs, like one of the keys is like taking care of the ball, you know, executing on offense, and they're one of the worst turnover teams in the league. You look at, you know, D'Angelo Russell, like he's still maturing in terms of making the right decision. And so if the Raptors just go ahead and trap him, who are they really going to get offense out of? I mean, you know, that's where the Caris LeVert injury really, really hurts, because he's not the same player anymore. Mm-hmm. And so now you're depending on guys like Joe Harris and Spencer Dinwiddie and, you know, Jared Allen to set those screens. And I just don't see how they can get enough offense in a playoff setting. And I actually think it's probably still going to end up being the Pistons, man.
Yeah. I'm really hoping so.
It's fate, isn't it? It's fate. It has to happen.
Like, they're going to beat the Knicks tomorrow.
Yes, they're going to. They had an impressive comeback today.
Will, do you have a car?
I don't, and I don't drive, so I'm it, buddy.
Yeah, I guess we're not going to Detroit. Sorry, Dan. Our bad, man. Like, we're not cool with going to Detroit, so we're not going to go.
Wow.
It was either Miami or Miami.
Does Porter fly to Detroit?
Does anyone fly to Detroit?
I mean, if Porter flies to Detroit, I'll go. You
okay,
know?
Wow.
Yeah.
I prefer to not be airborne over Detroit, personally.
Detroit would definitely be...
I don't trust it.
Detroit's going to be the most annoying matchup. We can say that at least, right? Because, like, Brooklyn, like, they don't even have anyone... Who's going to guard Pascal Siakam in Brooklyn?
Who's
going to guard Kawhi Leonard in Brooklyn? Who's going to guard Marc Gasol in Brooklyn? Like, it's actually, like, you go down the line, you're like, wow, this team doesn't have... They just don't have, like, they're a bunch of, like, skinny young kids, and it's like, you know, whatever. Like, we've seen the Raptors... you know, lose in that scenario before when they were a young team. But, like, Detroit actually, you know, frustrated me a little bit because, you know, Dwayne Casey knows all of Nick Nurse's plays, obviously. Nick Nurse is running the exact same plays as Dwayne Casey did, according to Dwayne Casey. Also, Dwayne Casey's, you know, probably, it's going to be like 3-0. They're going to be down in the series.
How many Dwayne Casey's is that?
Dwayne Casey's going to be down 3-0 in the series, and then he's going to stop the game, challenge Nick Nurse to all game of one-on-one, and that to decide the series. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's going to be annoying, so.
Who would win that game?
Dwayne, Casey. 100%. Yeah. I don't care that Dwayne is like 10 years older than Nick. It doesn't matter.
Well, Dwayne doesn't look like he's 60. No. That's probably because he
and
stays
in Dwayne trouble. Has fight in his eyes when he sees Nick Nurse.
No, Dwayne Casey's slapping the floor right now.
Yeah. No question. Yeah. So you're watching Raptors post game live with Yahoo Sports. Feel free to send in your questions. We're going to be here for a little while talking about everything to do with the Raptors ahead of the playoffs. What concerns you about the Raptors? Because they do, I mean, for me, I think they have a few holes that either they're still looking to address because of how short a time this team has had to really gel together. That being rebounding, possibly guarding the point guard position. So what do you think?
Well, on this week's episode of Raptors Over Everything.
Oh, look at you.
Me and Sirit did discuss this topic. Now, so I think Sirit dismissed most of my concerns about the Raptors. And I, as the host, had to maybe generate some potential concerns just to create content.
Mm-hmm. Oh, but how the turntables have turned.
Yeah. okay, so I will just throw this out there. Are you concerned about Kyle Lowry's scoring? Because his scoring has really fallen off this season in particular, right? It's the fewest points of his career, at least as a Raptor, say for that first season. And, you know, he hasn't really scored even 20 points in like a month. So are you guys concerned about that at all?
Honestly, I'm not, just because, so if you were to ask me before the trade deadline.
Yeah.
Look at you guys not concerned about Kyle Lowry. Look at you guys. Yeah. You guys learned nothing. You guys.
Before the trade deadline, if you looked at the Raptors roster, like Kyle Lowry's scoring was really important. That was how they were going to get to their ceiling. Because he needed to be that secondary guy to Kawhi. You know, we saw every time that Kawhi was out of the lineup, every time you saw Kyle Lowry play those games, you know, those wins against the Clippers in LA, the wins against the Warriors in Golden State, that was the Kyle Lowry you wanted to see with Kawhi. But now with the additions of Marc Gasol, with Pascal's improvement scoring-wise, I don't think Kyle's scoring is as important. And yeah, I feel like it's more gravy at this point, so I'm not too concerned about that. If there is something that concerns me, it's more defensively, where I think they're 29th in the league since the All-Star break in corner threes allowed, and that's something that you need to be on top of. And you know, the way the Raptors defend, I don't think that's something that will necessarily go away.
Okay, so why do they give up so many corner threes?
They struggle with dribble penetration. I mean, that hasn't changed for...
And it starts with the point guard position.
I mean, that hasn't changed at all, right? So, I mean, yeah, if we're talking about what we're worried about with Kyle Lowry, it's probably more a bit more on the defensive end than anything. So, yeah, with the dribble penetration, how, you know, if they can really focus in. Again, we haven't seen them hit top gear, top intensity over the course of the regular season. We've seen flashes of it. So maybe that's something that changes in the playoffs and they can cut down on that. And yeah, I think they just really trust their scramble mode as well. So if they can get out to shooters better, then, you know, again, that's a compete thing. That's an intensity thing. So that remains to be seen. I don't think that's a concern for the first round, but maybe when you go up against Philly or, you know, whether it's Boston or Milwaukee after that, then, you know, I think that's something that they need to be wary of.
Go ahead. Something that we talked about on the podcast was the potential of having a podcast.
Wrap us of everything. Subscribe.
One more time.
Was having
wraps of everything.
Yeah. There we go.
One more time. Wraps of what?
Everything. Yeah.
Everything. Exactly.
Everything.
Okay.
Yeah. iTunes. Yeah. Okay.
All right. Awesome. well, we talked about Pascal potentially guarding point guards, and that might actually be one of the only ways that they can avoid dribble penetration.
Yep.
Stanny Green, still strong defensively in a lot of other ways, is not really keeping up with point guards anyway, anymore the way that he used to. Probably needs to be retired from that sort of role. Not really Kawhi's big either.
Yeah.
It's more of like a strength.
I mean, you know, unless it's Ben Simmons at the top.
Sure, right? Yeah, if you're going to have a guy his size, for sure.
Even the final 2 minutes of the fourth quarter, that's when like Kawhi's like, all right, guys,
yeah.
I'll do it. Okay, fine.
Yeah. The way that Siakam can cut guys off, though, it's just, I think that might be a solution. We saw Casey do it last year in the playoffs with John Wall. I thought it was pretty successful. I thought OG did a pretty good job on him, too.
That's a good point.
You know, I think I like the idea of throwing him on a guy like Kyrie Irving and seeing what happens. He probably will pick up a couple extra fouls, and you'd like him to. And considering he's actually important out of the rotation, maybe you don't want that. But
yeah.
I don't know if the Raptors are really going to have a choice. And if he's successful, which I think, you know, it's one of those risks that you should see what happens. Because if he's successful, then you're just, then the defense is kind of a steel trap. Because then there's not really much else left for you to exploit. You know, everybody else is pretty strong.
With the way the Raptors' schedule has been since they acquired Gasol, like, the toughest team they faced was really OKC during that back-to-back. Outside of that, they've been playing a lot of teams that aren't that great. So there haven't been a lot of signature wins where they can show that, okay, we got this figured out, because all those wins were earlier on in the season. Mm-hmm. So it's, I don't blame fans for being a little bit hesitant about, okay, are these guys like, at that point where they can really guard anyone? So I understand that part. X factors, though. Everyone... He's an X factor off their bench.
Love an X factor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we all love X factors, and every team needs one. So, who is the Raptors' X factor during the postseason?
Oh, it's Jeremy Lin, my guy. Come on,
guys. Here we go again. Here we go. Did you guys know that Will Liu likes Jeremy Lin?
I'm
just learning today.
I will always love Jeremy, but this season it has been really trying. No, I'm gonna pick Norman Powell just because it feels like Norman Powell has a flair for the dramatic. And realistically, though, it's really just Nick Nurse said it the other day. After a game where Norm had, 23 points on a perfect 7-of-7 shooting, he said, Norm just has this, courage and confidence about it that, you kind of need that sometimes. Obviously, he's very athletic, and he can get his shot off, and he can be very aggressive, and we've seen it in the past. Norm has had some great playoff moments, 2016, Game 5, I was there in attendance. Him stealing the ball off Paul George and dunking it, I mean, that was incredible. By the way, DeMar DeRozan was benched for that fourth quarter, very, very curiously. And 20, 17, the year after, Norm replaces, who did they replace in the starting lineup?
Valanciunas in the starting lineup, and they went small.
They went to the small ball lineup with Ibaka at 5, and Norm was incredible. I mean, he shot 12 of 13 from deep for the rest of that first round series. So Norm's had a lot of great moments. Am I going to bank on Norm having great moments? No. But he's the kind of guy who will push hard enough to get to that great moment. So you need the courage to first take shots before you make shots. And Norm has lots of courage.
Got a couple of questions coming in. So this is from Phil. Sorry if I get this wrong, Phil. Your Twitter handle is a little bit confusing. Close game with a possession left. Who is the guy that you want taking the shot? Who are the top three guys you want taking shots for the Raptors? So obviously it's going to be Kawhi Leonard for number one, right? We want Kawhi. I mean, his crunch time shot selection and his making is pretty good so far this season. After that,
I mean, are we visualizing scenarios or are we saying this is who I'd give the ball to? Because I'd probably go Marc Gasol if Marc Gasol is going to shoot a shot, he's probably going to be wide open when he does it, right?
That's fair enough.
Like, he's not really necessarily going to be taking a contested shot. And if he's taking a last-minute shot where it's kind of rushed, he can get it off over anybody else. So
I just want to see him do that.
Not Kyle.
McGregor again.
The swag walk.
The swag walk. You look damn good doing it.
I'm going to go with our man, Danny Green.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Listen.
What do you mean?
Yahoo
Sports has a podcast with Danny Green?
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, yeah. Subscribe. Inside the green room. Check it out.
Inside this green room.
But, we got a live TV coming up, by the way, just so you know.
Yeah, it's sold out, though. But, you know, we
could still. It is.
Yeah, listen to a podcast, at least. It's with Norm. why not? Danny Green's already had two game winners this year, you know? Like, who's more automatic on wide open threes than Danny Green?
And I got all the confidence in the world when Danny Green is ready to take a shot with a few seconds left.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, look, if Danny has an open shot, I don't care who else might also get that open shot. I want Danny to take that open shot. That's the best shot for the Raptors, Danny Green open shot.
No question.
X-factor-wise, I do think OG Anunoby is really important. Just because, you know, we talked about potentially, you know, if you look at a situation where you're going up against Boston and you're starting off with Pascal Siakam on Kyrie Irving, he picks up a couple quick fouls. OG is the backup four. You need quality minutes from him. And sure, early on, maybe you can live with just getting, you know, 5 to 10 minutes a game out of him. But yeah, in those games, if Pascal picks up foul trouble, which is something he did during his last postseason, then OG's got to be ready to step in and really help out. And so I like the poise that he showed last year. He was great against Washington, had some really nice moments against Cleveland as well, even though I'm probably better off not remembering that. But yeah, I think X-factor-wise, the potential that OG could have to step into a role if Pascal does get into foul trouble, I think he's someone to look out for.
Final shot.
Outside of Kawhi, I'd probably say Danny. Probably not Kyle.
Hey, man, listen, Kyle's going to have a great assist on that game-winning play.
Yeah.
Great assist on that play.
A great screen assist.
You know what, low-key, Fred VanVleet?
Yeah.
Fred VanVleet's got some clutch chops. I like Fred.
He does.
Fred's a good
he
awesome.
See, I feel, that's I where like I got to disagree. What? I feel like every time, I mean, I love Fred. Like, he's a terrific backup point guard, even like a shooting guard. But I don't know, I feel like of late, I recall the shots you're talking about, but it seems like he's just been missing a lot of them. A lot of those long-range threes, I'm like, oh, this is a shot to get them over the hump, and then, you know, Fred misses it. I love Fred, okay? I'm just saying.
Wow.
I'm just going off of recent memory and what I've seen on TV.
I think Fred should be traded. I can't.
Wow.
Fred.
You're right, actually. Jeremy should be the backup point guard.
X-factor-wise, what do you think?
I think it's actually Serge.
Yeah?
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah, he's, yes, the chef. He... Still, I know he's having an unprecedentedly great season for what, is that even a word, for what we expected of him. That said, I just think that he has decision-making issues. There's still so many times where he catches a ball and I just feel like you're not going to do the right thing. And oftentimes he doesn't and it still kind of works, but I worry about what that means in the playoffs. I worry about him kind of getting blitzed a little bit and being forced to make decisions and freaking out or missing layups or seeing an open layup and deciding he's going to, you know, turn and go with the hook instead. You know, it's just I am, and he is older. You know, I don't know if he's. When was the last time he had a deep playoff run?
I mean, it's been a bit. It seems like you're saying he's the X factor, but not in a good way.
Him holding
I
up would be huge.
I actually thought he had a pretty good playoffs the year before last. Especially when Kyle got injured.
Was
I thought
that the year
really
LeBron spun
in.
The ball in his face and then hit the three?
Possibly.
Yeah. That was good in the Milwaukee series. That's right. That's
one way to.
Man, I hate LeBron. I hate LeBron. I'm so happy he's on the Lakers now.
Yeah, they got their own issues. Holy smokes. Magic. I think he just finished his press conference 2 hours later. Mm. Who would have thought?
Yeah. Oh, I mean, it was pretty bold of you to say that the content we provide here was going to be better than what Magic provided, because we're going to be dining on that for the next 2 weeks. Even though it's going to be the first round of the playoffs, like, we're going to be talking that for a long time.
Yeah.
It's going to be fun.
Yeah, he just dipped.
He just said that he would rather tweet at home about NBA players.
He's got the money to do that, though.
Which, like, I get. Yeah, well,
Twitter's great. Twitter is great.
Twitter's the best,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with Twitter.
When you're rich as Magic Johnson, you can make that call. You can say that I'd rather tweet than run the Lakers. He can do that.
Yeah,
they can't.
He's a billionaire.
His pitch to LeBron was legit. I'm going to get you someone next year.
Do you guys
think
about Genie?
He's just like,
yo, he didn't even tell Genie. That's right. He's like, I think of her as a sister. That's why I didn't tell her. That's why I told her over this press conference.
I love
it. I
you're the worst
her.
Brother ever, bro. you're the worst brother.
Yeah. Somehow worse than Jim Buss. Like, wow. He lasted a lot shorter than Jim Buss.
I love her so much that I would rather break up with her on national television.
Yeah. Oh, man.
Another question came in from B. McDonald. He's curious. How many games does it take for Nick to find his groove? So I guess this is referring to first playoff appearance as a head coach and dealing with everything that changes with the matchups and whatnot and game by game. Like, how long does it take Nick to find his groove?
Yeah, what? I don't think you get to find a groove.
Yeah, what's a coaching groove?
Yeah, that's kind of the whole thing with being a good playoff coach is actually being able to thrive without having a groove, really. It's about consistently making adjustments and being dynamic and not really necessarily feeling like you have a grasp over the situation. I don't know that that's actually a situation. I think we like to create this idea in our head of the ideal coach who is always on top of everything and knows every scenario. But in reality, all these guys are just making reads, and then the one that works, yeah, they look like a genius, but really the entire time is you're just trying to anticipate a million different scenarios coming at you, and you have players who you don't necessarily know if, you know, you could have made the best decision on paper, but if they don't deliver, they don't deliver. So, I mean, I don't know if a coaching groove really exists.
Plus, Nick Nurse has spent the whole season saving plays for the playoffs. Mm-hmm. So playoff mode Nick Nurse. Crazy. The plays he's going to be
really,
running.
I really believe he actually is doing that.
Only Danny
Carter. I don't know why, but I think, like, he actually has, like, a little book that he's just like, oh, go with that one in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
I think you read too many mad scientist profiles at the start of the season.
It could be. Well, I will say this, though, is that a critique of Dwayne Casey in the past years, and even Serge Ibaka when he was on Green Room, he said this, that in previous seasons, he felt like they waited a little bit too long to make adjustments in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. And you look at Ty Lue and LeBron, they were always like three steps ahead of the Raptors, and that bit them year after year after year. So I do think Nick Nurse has learned enough from that whether it's the right decision or not, he will make a decision.
Yeah, I think if there's anything you look at with Nurse in terms of finding a groove, it's during the regular season where he tried all these different machinations in terms of the rotations, and I think he's figured out what he wants to go to in different situations, and now it's just a question of doing it in, you know, real time in the playoffs. And yeah, I think, you know, I thought he had an interesting quote when, you know, someone asked him at a Raptors practice about, you know, how many games do you think it takes for these guys to get comfortable? You know, what's an ideal sample size? And he's like, you know what, honestly, with some guys on this team, they're so smart, I just need one game. And the other guys, maybe it takes them 15 or 20. And so maybe that's why we've seen certain samples of certain rotations extend a bit longer and other ones have been, you know, sort of cut down pretty quickly, where he's like, okay, I think I know I have this in my back pocket that I can go to at any time. So I think he's established over the course of the regular season what his groove is going to be. And now, you know, now we wait for the real test.
An area that has been critiqued quite a bit this season of Nick Nurse was his late game play calling. And that's been going on again for a couple of years now. I don't know if we actually know the answer to that yet, of if he's actually like much better than Dwayne Casey in that area. But I mean, we're
definitely Dwayne had like three set plays though. I literally people on Twitter would just be like, "Oh, Dwayne's going with either option A, B, or C," and it was like that screen at half court for Kyle Lowry to catch the ball. There was DeMar DeRozan with the ball screen from Kyle Lowry, and then there was just the JV play where you inbound at the elbow, he fakes the handoff and goes through. Literally, those are the only three plays. I can name them right now.
I do recall seeing Blake Griffin do that as well in Detroit. Well,
the Pistons beat the Raptors on that same play the first time that they played each other.
Right.
Yeah.
So, Nick, you should have probably, paid attention the last 5 years. No, I'm kidding. No, I think Nick is showing.
Well, Nick has all the same plays, right?
The exact same plays. I mean, they're the same plays.
We're gonna have a lot of Spider-Man memes if if they get the Pistons.
I think Nick has shown, especially out of timeouts, like it's like, you know, down the stretch, like you're probably only he's a little bit conservative down the stretch, but throughout the course of a game, like after timeouts, he's consistently come up with really good plays and like notable ones where it's like some like Danny Green going to the corner and there's a series of screens, or Fred VanVleet, or Kyle, coming around two down screens going left. Like, there's a lot of things that Nick Nurse has done with his play calling, but it just seems like down the stretch it definitely becomes a lot more conservative and it's a lot more through Kawhi, which is fine, right? Kawhi is a very good closer. He's had at least three or four game winners this
for
year,
sure,
think, right?
Yep.
So, I just think it comes down to a question of like, how do you give the ball to Kawhi? Like, do you give him the ball outside the three-point arc, let him dribble off a screen, or do you put him into the post and let him catch it there, turn around, face up, and go one-on-one? And I think for me, I would rather him just go into the post because I think that limits the weakest part of his game, which is probably the dribble. He's not that good creating off the dribble.
I do like when he uses Kyle as a screener.
Yeah.
Because Kyle, he will get the job done. That is part of, you see a lot of plays break down is because the screen wasn't set properly. But Kyle, he will get his big ass in there and he will make sure that the screen is done properly. So I do like that play because it does generally provide opportunity for Kawhi to at least make something happen off the dribble, going towards the basket. And when he's pretty close to the bucket, he's so strong that chances are he's going to get at least a good shot off.
Yeah, I think if there's anything that tells you how risk-averse Nick Nurse has been in late game situations, it's you look at the two sort of dynamic plays that he's had. It's like giving Siakam the ball at the top against the Phoenix Suns and getting Danny Green a look early in the season against Orlando, right? So, I think it is what it is. You're going to see Kawhi with the ball a lot in isolation scenarios late in games, and you've just got to hope that he comes through and makes the right decision. If the Raptors are the team they are, if it is a tie game scenario, you're basically saying, okay, we've got, say if it's 10 seconds, 20 seconds, whatever, we're going to take this last shot. We miss it. Now we've got another 5 minutes to win the game, right? If you're the better team, you like your chances in either scenario, right? So.
Yeah, I mean, I think if anything, you would hope that some of those isolation situations are a little bit more dynamic than they've been in the regular season or a little bit more thought out. I think one of the examples of a situation where Kawhi wasn't put in the best possible situation to succeed was against the Rockets when they kept trying to get the switch on James Harden to put him in the post against Harden, which was like, well, guys, like this is the one place where you don't really necessarily want to be isolating against Harden. And
he got that Rick Ross body.
Kawhi ran into him like a brick wall and it didn't really go well. So whether that's going to be getting the right screen and getting the right mismatch or having some, off-ball screening action happening while Kawhi is going so that it's harder to send a double. Like, some sort of variation on just a plain ISO, I think, would go a long way. Because at the end of the day, it's just a percentage game, right?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what Kawhi's ISO is. Let's say he's likely to hit, 44%.
Yeah.
If you can get up to 50 with a good matchup, if you can get a couple other things going, then I think I'm okay with isolation. I think it's become a bad word in the NBA, but in reality, that's how playoff basketball games are won. So it's obviously good to have one of the best isolation players in the league on your team, and also a guy that, push comes to shove, he can shove harder, right? He'll get a shot off, right?
Yeah. So.
The one thing I would also say is I would like to see them involve Marcus Gasol in those plays too. Kyle's a good screener for sure.
No question.
But Kyle's small. It's hard to give the ball to Kyle afterwards because he's he's small, right? He slips a screen or whatever. It's not like you just throw it over the top and Kyle's going to be like, oh, I'm going to catch it. Gasol, he's 7 feet tall. He's going to set a huge screen, bigger than Kyle even. And it's easy to throw the guy. He's a big target. And then when he's on the move, it's a 4-on-3 situation. I mean, Gasol is going to be a good decision maker. He's going to find the open man. And also, like, he's actually a threat going to the rim.
Yeah.
That's the case. And he can also pop up for three. So, you know, keep Gasol in mind as a pick and roll option as well.
Yeah, or a dribble handoff option, right? Yeah. Like, if JV could fake and drive the other way, you know.
Yeah, I think the key is the decision making, right? Like with Gasol, if they do deny Kawhi the ball or whoever else it may be, you can trust him to just manage the situation, right? Spoelstra has that quote about him not getting seasick in those late game situations. Mm-hmm. That's where you can trust him. You know that he's going to make the right play. You've seen him make big shots in the playoffs before as well. So I definitely agree with that.
Yeah, and I think also the other thing is the Raptors have so many smart players, so you can kind of trust them to be dynamic without necessarily turning it over. Especially, like, I think that we're all kind of terrified of putting Kyle into dynamic situations because of what's happened before. But, you know, maybe it's time to get over that and just accept, hey, there are a lot of guys on this team who make good decisions, they can shoot the ball, and, you know, they are unselfish. So let's just run a real play and see what happens. The chances of this team turning it over on a set play are so much lower than your average team.
Yep.
And their assist turnover ratio has gone like through the roof in a good way since the Gasol trade. Like, they are not turning the ball over the way they used to at all, and their assists are like, they're getting 30 a game, no problem.
Their threes.
Yeah.
That helps.
Are talking about Kawhi Leonard, and let's talk about the elephant in the room. If everyone knows, watch Green Room. That is a term that is going on with Nick Nurse. Has Kawhi Leonard played his last regular season game with the Toronto Raptors?
Why would you ask this?
Why not?
Okay, fine.
Yo, we're about to go to the playoffs. We might go to the finals. Let's worry about this in June. Like, yo, come on. I mean,
stop being a Toronto Raptors fan. Right. Deal with the present.
Fine.
That's still a thing.
Fine. Has Jeremy Lin played the rest last week?
Okay. what were we going to say? We're going to play that game with Jeremy Lin, right?
Yeah, yeah.
First off, Jeremy's going to be in the NBA next year, all right? Don't worry. He's going to be in the NBA.
Yeah, he's got too much marketing value.
Did you guys make sure to zoom in on Will's face?
Jeremy's going to be in the NBA next year. Please, NBA, make that happen.
I think that's
your solo. Yeah. All right. Well, are you ready for your close-up?
I'm doing the R. Kelly. Like, oh, is that camera over there? No.
No mentioning of R. Kelly.
I really shouldn't
get R. Kelly out of the vocabulary.
What was that Jeremy Lin game we were going to play about?
So, basically, I think you can guesstimate that the Raptors should, if they meet expectations, play about 20 games this postseason, right? Give or take. Will Jeremy Lin finish with at least 20 points total?
Jesus.
So over under total points.
I didn't want to do this here.
Okay, so if they play 20 games.
Will just started.
If the Raptors play 20 playoff games and you want them to score 20 total points, that's 1 point a game. So you're asking if Jeremy can score 1 point a game.
I mean, he's also got to get into the games.
He's got to get into the games. So, Raptors will have some blowouts. The first round. You know what? No. I want to say yes. And not only yes, he's going to have 20 points just in the first round alone. Just in the first round alone.
Jesus Christ.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, he shot 2 of 8 today against the Timberwolves.
Oh, gosh.
Against, who are the Timberwolves playing?
You
back
said
back
that with
the
such G-League a Wolves. Positive inflection. He shot 2 of 8 today against the Timberwolves.
You can tell I never believe it. No, the game you were playing was, is Jeremy Lin going to score more points than Jody Meeks in the playoffs?
Okay.
And the answer is no.
I don't think
no, because Jody Meeks.
So you're saying no.
Jody Meeks is going to get minutes.
Jody Meeks is going to, if he gets minutes, he's going to be scoring, too.
So you can make open shots, you're saying?
He can take open shots.
Fair enough. Okay. So no. Yeah.
Yeah. Jody scores more.
Jody scores more. Okay. Pat McCaw. Let's say he's healthy for round one.
Okay. Pat McCaw doesn't score though. He's brought on to play 2 minutes of defense, and that's it.
I think Pat McCaw will still outscore him just because he
he's actually going to play. That's a good point. Chris Boucher.
Is he? He's back for like the second round.
Yeah. Essentially, we'll see like what kind of condition he's in and stuff.
Yeah. Fair enough.
Yeah, I'll say Lin scores
more points. What if the Raptors don't make it to the
second round?
Nice. Yeah. I got you.
What did you
I got
say?
You.
What if the Raptors don't say that again?
What if the Raptors don't make it to the second round?
Here we go.
Oh my God.
Holy smart.
I'm just saying for McCaw, maybe Jeremy Lin is actually the better move.
You're just saying.
I'm just saying
that the Raptors won't get to the second round.
Chris Boucher or Jeremy Lin. Who got
We've been through this. Everyone's going to score more points than Jeremy Lin.
Chris Boucher?
Yes.
Okay, here's the thing. If
he's a flamethrower.
If the Raptors make the finals, then just because of the blowouts against the Warriors, Jeremy Lin will get minutes.
Exactly, and there's a revenge factor of playing against the first team he cracked in the NBA with.
That's true.
Yeah, that's right. Pre-Linsanity. Yeah. He was a third-string guard.
It was when he kicked John Wall's ass in Summer League.
That's right. He was like, my lateral quickness is very good. And people are like, because you do martial arts. And he's like, no, that's not it.
I think, in the finals.
Yeah?
The Raptors?
Yeah.
I mean, there's four games, though.
No. They're trying to max out the Oracle experience, right? So they'll lose game four. So the Raptors will have home court.
This is what happens.
Right? So they'll win one game at home. And then the Warriors will come to Toronto for game five and be like, no, we can't do this here. And they'll go back to Golden State for game six. And that's how it'll end.
And we're going to hang a banner for that, too.
Yeah.
We got to hang a banner for every win.
Yeah. Just the box score. Like, just like a very large banner, but like small.
Will Jeremy Lin get a banner?
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
In China? Yeah, definitely. every city in China is going to have a banner, right?
For every Raptors win, we will
Singapore
have
a banner
somewhere in this office. We will have a post-game show after game one and game two of the first round series and more after that. And be sure to follow Will and I for games three and four, wherever we're going, Orlando, Brooklyn, Miami, Charlotte. Don't really know yet. So thanks for watching. We'll see you next time. Have a good night. Bye-bye.